Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 28. Jiva Shreshta Yajivana Tata Prana Brita Subhe Tata Sachita Pravaras Tatas Chindriya Vritaya Jiva Shreshta Yajivana Tata Prana Brita Subhe Tata Sachita Pravaras Tatas Chindriya Vritaya Jiva Shreshta Yajivana Tata Prana Brita Subhe Tata Sachita Pravaras Tatas Chindriya Vritaya Jiva, living entities, Shreshta, better, he, indeed, Ajivanam, than inanimate objects, Tata, than them, Pranabrita, entities with life symptoms, Sube, O Blessed Mother, Tata, than them, Satchita, entities with developed consciousness, Pravara, better, Tata, than them, Cha, and Indriyavritaya, those with sense perception. Translation. Living entities are superior to inanimate objects, O Blessed Mother, and among them, living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them, and better still are those who have developed sense perception. Translation, please repeat. Living entities are superior to inanimate objects.
Living entities are superior to inanimate objects.
O Blessed Mother.
And among them,
living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them. And better still are those who have developed sense perception. Purport. In the previous verse, it was explained that living entities should be honored by charitable gifts and friendly behavior. And in this verse, and in the following verses, the description of different grades of living entities is given so that one can know when to behave friendly and when to give charity. For example, a tiger is a living entity, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Lord is living in the heart of the tiger as Supersoul. But does this mean that we have to treat the tiger in a friendly manner? Certainly not. We have to treat him differently, giving him charity in the form of prasad. The many saintly persons in the jungles do not treat the tigers in a friendly way, but they supply prasad foodstuffs to them. The tigers come, take the food, and go away just as a dog does. According to the Vedic system, a dog is not allowed to enter the house. Because of their uncleanliness, cats and dogs are not allowed within the apartment of a gentleman but are so trained that they stand outside. The compassionate householder will supply prasad to the dogs and cats who eat outside and then go away. We must treat the lower living entities compassionately, but this does not mean that we have to treat them in the same way we treat other human beings. The feeling of equality must be there, but the treatment should be discriminating. Just how discrimination should be maintained is given in the following six verses concerning the different grades of living conditions. The first division is made between dead, stone-like matter and the living organism. A living organism is sometimes manifested even in stone. Experience shows that some hills and mountains grow. This is due to the presence of the soul within that stone. Above that, the next manifestation of the living condition is development of consciousness, and the next manifestation is the development of sense perception. In the Moksha Dharma section of the Mahabharata, it is stated that trees have developed sense perception. They can see and smell. We know by experience that trees can see. Sometimes in its growth, a large tree changes its course of development to avoid some hindrances. This means that a tree can see. And according to Mahabharata, a tree can also smell. This indicates the development of sense perception. Jiva Shreshta Yajivanam Tata Prana Britasube Tata Sachita Pravaras Tata Chendriya Vritaya. Translation. Living entities are superior to inanimate objects, O Blessed Mother, and among them, living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them, and better still are those who have developed sense perception. Lord Kapila, continuing to explain philosophy to his mother Devahuti. We were explaining yesterday briefly the background of Kadama Muni and Devahuti, and of course Devahuti's mother and father, Svayambhuva Manu and Satarupa, born directly from Lord Brahma. Kadama Muni also born directly from Lord Brahma. So these are all high persons, very, very high persons. Kadama Muni, a Mahayogi, a great devotee. I told yesterday how Lord Brahma had instructed him to help populate the universe. And so he went and performed tapasya in meditation on the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu was very satisfied with him and appeared to him and blessed him. And Kadama Muni was so high devotee that he felt a bit ashamed to ask Lord Vishnu for something material. He was a very high devotee. He said, actually, normally when one has your darshan, the devotees do not ask anything for their own benefit, especially any material thing. But since I have been ordered by my father, Lord Brahma, to help populate, and since I've been ordered, I should be married. So I'm asking you that if you can please give me your mercy and let me have a nice wife so I can fulfill the order of my father. So Lord Vishnu, he said, yes, I know everything, and you'll be blessed with a very nice wife in Devahuti. And Devahuti, we were explaining yesterday, also after hearing from Narad Muni about Kadama Muni being such a great devotee, she desired to be married to Kadama Muni. So her mother and father, Svayambhuva Manu and Satarupa, immediately agreed, even though Kadama Muni was very austere, and she was a princess raised in royalty in the palace. He was just living in a leaf hut. Still, they did not hesitate to get their daughter married to such a great devotee. So Kadama Muni was a great devotee. He immediately, when they came there, he immediately agreed to accept Devahuti. The marriage ceremony was performed. The parents just left their daughter in the charge of Kadama Muni, and she served him very wonderfully. She's a great devotee. He is a great devotee. So such a marriage is always auspicious and blessed by the Supreme Personality of God, and blessed by all great personalities. So very successful. Now, Kadama Muni had made the condition to the parents that I will marry your daughter, but on the condition that when I give her a son, then at that time I will leave and go back to my practice of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the parents agreed to that. And just to facilitate all that and the conjugal relationship, Kadama Muni created a moving mansion that could move in the sky like an aeroplane, and they traveled for many years throughout the universe to the different pleasure places within the universe, and they had the eight daughters, and finally Lord Kapila. The Lord had told previously Kadama Muni that I will appear as your son in the future. So they had the eight daughters, and then they had Lord Kapila. So when Lord Kapila appeared, then Kadama Muni went and retired from the Grihastha life and went back to his meditation and tapasya. And Devahuti raised Lord Kapila. Lord Kapila is answering Devahuti's questions. And I mentioned yesterday, Devahuti, we can understand she is a very exalted devotee just by the nature of her questions. Her questions are very wonderful questions. And just to ask those questions, one needs a deep realization of the spiritual philosophy. Generally these days in Kali Yuga, not so many are interested in spiritual philosophy or philosophy in general. in the days of yore, there was more in the student community in my time and before my time. There was, I had a few friends who were doing philosophy courses. But now these days, not so much. But still, there's some interest. Prabhuji was telling me yesterday they organised a big program for the Guru Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, at Melbourne University, and he gave a lecture in the evening. And by the cultivation of the students, giving them prasadam and all sorts of programs, and keeping in contact with them through Facebook and on the web. They were able to get nearly 600 students to Maharaj's lecture. So I was very astounded. I said, well, that's an amazing thing to get 600 students. Of course, there was free prasadam. I noted that as well. And so, but still, not only that's the free prasadam, but they presented Maharaj in such a way and in such a title of the lecture that the students, many students came. They could hardly fit. They couldn't fit, actually. They were sitting on the floor and everything like that. So still there's some interest, but, one has to present it in a way. But generally speaking, there's not so much interest. And therefore, Prabhupada actually in one of the previous purports, he goes so far as to say that a devotee should worship the Supreme Lord, be friendly to persons who are on the same level, and be compassionate to the ignorant. One should exhibit his compassion for the ignorant living entities by distributing prasadam. Distribution of prasadam to the ignorant masses of people is essential for persons who make offerings to the personality of Godhead. And many times Prabhupada would emphasize this point. He said for the masses, main program is kirtan and prasadam distribution. I remember one time here in Melbourne, he said, your country will be conquered by prasadam. Your country will be conquered by prasadam. And we're very successful. And many of my godbrothers, GBC godbrothers, asked me, they've heard that we have so many restaurants here, and so many food for life programs, and in a small country with a small population, but yet we have, they say in our country, in America or someplace like that, we have quite a few restaurants, but in comparatively speaking, in a relative way, compared to the number of temples and compared to the population of the country, that the percentage is a big percentage compared to even in the other places in the ISKCON world. So we're very fortunate by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we're able to distribute so much prasadam. I was listening this morning, you know, yesterday at Crossways, we had, 550 customers, isn't it? 550 customers. That's a lot, 550. Is that a normal every day like that, or was that a big day? Not normal. 500 is normal. 500 to 600. Normal. Normal. And very good preaching here in Melbourne, because 500 or 600 normal, and then of course on top is Gopal's. Gopal's restaurant. I forget how many, 200 or 300, because they charge more money. There's less people, but how many? 300. Still, 300. And then we have also, you'll have your lunch program here if some people come. You have your Food for Life as well, isn't it? A different program for Food for Life, right? There used to be, anyway.
Yeah, in Port Melbourne.
In Port Melbourne. Still there? Yeah. Oh. How many times a week you go?
One day.
In the community hall there, right? Yeah. Yeah, so all these programs are great. So, you know, prasadam distribution, and then, of course, kirtan. Like last night I was out on the Harinam with the great Harinam kirtaniyas, the Maharatis of the... Harinam were out there. Sarabi Mataji was out there. My god sister was out there leading the kirtan even before I even got there. And so she went, she was good. And then I led, and then she took over again. And so she's a very good kirtan leader, and playing the mridanga drum as well. Good mridanga playing also, you know. And our ladies can also lead the kirtan. And I was leading the kirtan. So that, and then you have Friday, and then you have other. And so kirtan and prasadam, and the main two things, Prabhupada told us, kirtan for the masses, and then Lord Kapila. Now, coming to this verse, Lord Kapila is explaining Sankhya philosophy to his mother Devahuti, and to differentiate. Now, everything comes from Krishna, and everything is expanded through his energies. Everything is Krishna, but everything is not Krishna. Krishna has his own personality, and he expands. And technically speaking, there is what's called Svayam Prakash, Svayam Vilas, Svayam Prabhav, Svayam Vaibhav. Svayam Prakash, expansions of the Lord, are the expansion. Just like you see the painting of Krishna dancing in the Rasa dance. In the Rasa dance, he is dancing with all the gopis, and each Krishna is looking the same, although maybe the dance position is a little bit different with the Krishnas, but each Krishna is looking the same. And in Dwarka, you know, Krishna and the queens, he's expanded himself to be with each queen. Each Krishna is the same. These are, when they're identical Krishnas, this is called Svayam Prakash expansions. And Svayam Vilas is a little bit different. The first Svayam Vilas is Lord Balaram. He's an immediate expansion from Krishna, and he is Svayam Vilas. So these are a little bit different looking, different expansions throughout the Vaikuntha, the different forms of the Lord Vishnu, Svayam Vilas. And Svayam Prabhav means they have all the, you know, very all potencies of the Supreme Personality of God. Svayam Vaibhav is sometimes partially manifested potency. So these are all the technical terms. The original Svayam Rupa, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Anari Adi Govind Savakarana, the source of all, Nitya Nityanas Chaitanam Chaitananam Ekabhunam Yovididatikam. There is many eternals. There are many eternals, many eternal souls, but there is one amongst them who is supplying the needs of all the others. This is the position of Krishna. He is Svayam. And that sometimes there can be many Bhagawan, just like in the Veda. Sometimes you'll read Bhagawan Indra, Bhagawan Agni, Bhagawan, even the demigods sometimes are referred to as Bhagawan, possessor of all opulences. Sometimes devotees, Bhagawan Narad. Sometimes devotees are referred to as Bhagawan. But Svayam Bhagawan, Eta Chamsa, Krishna's to Bhagawan, Svayam. Again, Krishna's to Bhagawan, Svayam. The original Bhagawan, that Bhagawan from whom all other Bhagawans come, that is Krishna. So many places in the Shastra, this is stated. Lord Brahma, he states, Ishvara Parama Krishna, in his mature realization after being enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the beginning of the creation, there was nothing, only Lord Brahma. And then from within his heart, tad evaham eva gre, tad evasam eva gre, this from the original verses of the Bhagavatam, the Lord enlightened Brahma, and he said that before you, before anything, before all these things, it was just myself. So he is original in many places like that, he states. So Krishna expands in so many ways. There are the Vaikuntha world, there are the material universes unlimitedly, and he enters each one of them and expands, and then he enters into the heart. He is in the heart of all things. So he is in the heart, but we have to understand these things very carefully. Therefore, Lord Kapila is explaining very nicely in detail, and there are a whole chapter here, in detail, how to understand Krishna as Supreme, how to understand all the expansions, how to understand the material energies, the prakriti, all the different forms of the material energy, and the different levels of it. So Prabhupada gives long purports here, which means that we have to understand very carefully what Lord Kapila Dev is explaining. Making distinction, seeing equality, and of course this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, achincha bheda bheda tatva, simultaneously one, but different also. There is spirituality, but there are different levels of the spirituality. All is one spiritual, everything is equal as far as spiritual quality, but there are different levels of understanding, and therefore we should know how to interact with that with a proper understanding. This is the point that is made today and made in the previous verses by Lord Kapila Dev. So Prabhupada is emphasizing on this, and in yesterday's verse, he says, just like the Lord can incarnate and he appears within the heart of all living entities in all forms of life. He appears in the heart of the hog, of the dog, but that doesn't mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become a hog or he has become a dog. And how did Prabhupada put it? He said that this is his inconceivable potency. When Lord Narayan is living in the heart of a hog, he does not become Hog Narayan or Dog Narayan. No, he cannot be. Lord Narayan is unaffected by the body of the hog or the body of the dog. He doesn't become. Of course, he incarnates sometimes as Lord Varaha, but that is a spiritual form. Lord Varaha comes from a Leela in the form of the hog for a specific purpose, to pick up the earth and to fight with Hiranyaksha. So, but that is a spiritual form. Actually, ourselves also, we don't become the dog. We don't become the hog. We don't become the tree. That is only the external body. But the living entity, being very minute, becomes affected by that body, starting to think, I am that hog. I am the dog. That is the difference between the ordinary living entity, the conditioned soul especially, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord never becomes an illusion like that. He never becomes overwhelmed by his own energy, of course. That is his energy. Everything is emanating from him. Everything is subordinate to him. So he never gets an illusion. He is always God in every situation, and he can create in every situation Prabhupada puts it here, in every situation he can create his own Vaikuntha situation, even in the body of the hog, even in the body of the dog, in the body of the tree. He never becomes the dog or the hog or the tree, nor is he affected. By the different situations. So this is something we need to understand. Therefore, and the living entities, also spiritual, But the living entities are forgetful, and they become overcome. They start to identify with those body forms. So, but someone who's advanced, someone who understands the spiritual philosophy, will see all these differences, see this, the oneness of spirituality, all living entities, but see the differences in the bodies. So Prabhupada explains here and gives the example of the tiger. Those who have this spiritual understanding, this philosophical understanding, will know that should we be friendly to the tiger, even though within the tiger God is there and the living entity is there, and we are respectful that God is within the body of the tiger, the living entity, the soul is within, but should we be friendly to the tiger? Certainly not, Prabhupada says. Does this mean we have to treat the tiger in a friendly way? Certainly not. We have to treat him differently. We cannot go to the zoo and jump over the fence and want to pat the tiger. Would you do like that? Foolishly, someone might want to do like that. But then what will happen? Huh? The tiger will eat him. It's like foolishly sometimes every now and again you read that you have to be very careful. Some people, they go through the safari park in the car or something like that. They drive through the safari park, and in the safari park there are many different animals. They can see the bear, they can see the, they drive through the different sections, they can see the bear, they can see the lion, and sometimes foolishly, in the enthusiasm to get the photo or something like that, they wind down the window, and they lean out to take, there was one story, they lean out to take the photograph, even though the lion's, not so far away, there's some lion's not so far away, I read, and then someone leaned out and take the photo, and the lion just jumped and grabbed them and dragged them out the window. There's another story of some foolish lady in China. They were, her and the husband, and the mother was in the back seat, for some reason the husband and wife having a big argument, the wife was driving, the mother was in the back, wife was driving, so maybe, I don't know what happened, but maybe the husband was complaining about her driving or something, because she's in a huff, so they were driving through the tiger section. And in a huff, the wife stopped the car, opened up the door, and got out her side, and went around the other side, and then the husband moved over to the... And then while she was trying to get back in the passenger, all of a sudden the tiger came and grabbed her and dragged her off. And then the mother jumped out and tried to save the daughter, and another tiger came and got her. It's a very unfortunate situation that people are so foolish. Either foolishly they want to come close, or they want to pat the tiger. There was one story just a while ago in India, I think in the Delhi Zoo. There was some drunk student that jumped in. Was it in Delhi? Some drunk student boy. He jumped in the tiger enclosure, drunk, with the bottle, just walking around and challenging the tiger. Oh, come here, I'll fight with you. And so all his friends were shouting, oh, get out, but he wasn't listening. Somehow or other that he survived, because the tiger was so astonished to see such behavior. The tiger was so astonished to see such behavior that the tiger ran away. That was very unusual, but normally he would be the dinner for the tiger. As I told yesterday, when Prabhupada went to the Hyderabad Zoo one time, that they went past the crocodile enclosure, and the crocodile came, and he said that, we are looking in a very curious fashion, but the tiger, the crocodile, looking at us, and he's saying, this is dinner. So different living entities are to be treated differently. So one has to distinguish. distinguish. You can't treat everyone same, even though there's spirit, soul inside. Just like a doctor, someone comes, they're sick. Does he give the same medicine to everyone? You know, maybe someone who's pretending to be the doctor just give the same medicine. I read one story about someone who was just pretending and advertising himself as a doctor here in Adelaide, I think it was. And, but he was not actually. And he was just giving everyone more or less the same medicine, and then some people were getting more sick. And so they did investigation and they apprehended him. He was from India. somehow or other, he had convinced everyone he had his credentials as doctor. He had some fake credentials from India that he paid for. They apprehended him. But so, you know, the doctor, if someone comes sick, everyone has a different sickness. You can't give the same medicine to everyone. You have to distinguish. So similarly to, we have to distinguish. So there's the tiger, no, but still, we have to treat everyone compassionately. So Prabhupada actually mentions here, the tigers come, in many saintly persons in the jungles, they do not treat the tigers in a friendly way, but they supply prasadam foodstuffs to them. Tigers come, take the food and go away, just as a dog does. And similarly, the dogs. The dogs, you know, Prabhupada says in the Vedic system, they're not really kept in the house, although, you know, in the Western society, dogs and cats are allowed in the house. But the Prabhupada says here, as far as in the apartment of any gentleman, he doesn't allow dogs and cats because they're moochy. They're moochy. They're, you know, they pass the stool apart. They're just moochy animals. So they, you know, in the house, one has to keep, clean. The house has to be clean. They have to be clean. So generally the dogs and the cats are not allowed inside. They're kept outside. But still, you have to be compassionate to them. You give them, and Prabhupada actually specifies here, you give prasadam to them. You give prasadam. So even though, you know, there are some who think we have to, because the dog is a meat eater, therefore we have to feed them the meat. No. You just give them prasadam. And the dog, if he wants, he can get his meat somewhere else. But that doesn't mean that the devotee has to give them the meat. The devotee should only give them the prasadam. Dog's dog, cat's cat. If they need to eat, they eat meat. But it's not that the devotee gives them the meat. They will go and get their own meat. We don't have to supply that. But we supply them with the prasadam. So dogs get the prasadam and the cats get the prasadam. There's that story of the dog that was following the kirtan. Parashivananda Sen was leading the devotees to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya for the Rath Yatra, and one dog followed them. And Shivananda Sen, by his mercy, decided to be very kind to the dog, and he made sure that the devotees were provided for. He would look after all their necessities in their travel down to Jagannath Puri. And have nice accommodations and nice prasadam. And the dog, he accepted as part of the party. And he made sure that the dog got prasadam. Not, you know, with everyone and at a distance. You know, he would make sure he got his prasadam. Then one time he didn't see the dog. And he actually asked, where's the dog? Oh, and we haven't seen him. Or did you give him his prasadam? He actually asked that question. Did you give him his prasadam? We forgot the dog. So he actually, Shivananda Sen was making inquiries about the dog. That dog got the mercy of Shivananda Sen. He was asking, where's the dog? They went looking for the dog. He was concerned about the dog. But then they couldn't find the dog. But then, of course, when they got to Jagannath Puri, they saw that the dog was there, already there, and that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had gone to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And wasn't it Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving him some... coconut pulp or something like that from the prasad or something from Jagannath, and throwing it, and the dog was catching it and eating, and then that dog, they didn't see that dog anymore. But then they understood that dog must have been some special dog, because some special living entity, because he got the mercy of Shivananda, not only Shivananda Sen and the devotees, but got the mercy directly of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that dog must have gone home back to Godhead. Gone home back to Godhead by receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we see that in the person of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was none other than the Supreme Personality of God. He could go anywhere, and he could even make the tigers and the deer dance together, and the elephant all come together. He was such a personality, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could make them dance together. Normally the tiger would be jumping on the deer and eating him. We see with Lord Chaitanya, he made them dance. Of course, we should not think we are Lord Chaitanya, that we can just go in the jungle and make the tigers dance, and we are not so powerful like that. He is in the heart of all. There was that story of that when all the people would go, when Haridas Thakur was living in the cave, that all the people would go to see him, but they were a little afraid because there was one big snake inside. So for some reason, Haridas Thakur was not disturbed. He's such a great devotee. He was not. He didn't have any fear of the snake, but there's some big python was inside. The people a little bit of afraid. Haridas Thakur was a little concerned that the people were disturbed by that. So the Lord, from within the heart of the snake, caused that snake just to go out of there. So the Lord can do anything. He is in the heart of all. And he can do wondrous things. But we have to be a bit distinguishing. The Lord doesn't have to distinguish like that. Although the Lord, when he comes to the world, shows by example how to live and how to distinguish and how to follow all the prescribed duties and so on and so forth. So, but we have to distinguish. So therefore, all these different guidelines are there. The compassionate household that will supply prasad even to the cats and the dogs. We must treat the lower living entities compassionately, Prabhupada says here. But this does not mean that we have to treat them in the same way as we treat other human beings. So in other words, we do see the difference. The feeling of equality must be there, but the treatment should be discriminating. Just how discrimination should be maintained is given in the following six verses concerning the different grades of living conditions. So we have to learn these things, and we should hear these instructions. How to discriminate? This instruction is given. Prabhupada has given some instruction already. He's already given some instruction that we should worship the form of the Lord in the form of the deity very nicely by offering nice paraphernalia and articles of worship, offer nice prasadam. But even then, he said, he gives some guideline. Even in, when we're worshipping the deity, he says this, that real love and devotion is accepted by the Lord. Many valuable foodstuffs may be presented to a person, but if the person is not hungry, all such offerings are useless for him. Similarly, we may offer many valuable items to the deity, but if we have no real sense of devotion and no real sense of the Lord's presence everywhere, it is a very important point. Can we follow this point? If we have no real sense of devotion and no real sense of the Lord's presence everywhere, then we are lacking in devotional service, and in such a state of ignorance, we cannot offer anything acceptable to the Lord. Very interesting. If a person is not hungry, such offerings are useless for him. If we're in this ignorance, we cannot offer anything acceptable to the Lord. This is a very interesting point, isn't it? We have no real sense of devotion and no real sense of... So yesterday we were speaking a little bit about, all right, someone may worship the deity and be respectful to the deity, but he's not very respectful to the devotees, or he's not very respectful to others who are not devotees. One has to be respectful to all, even the other living entities in different forms of life. So if one remains in ignorance and thinks that I'm rendering very high level service to the deity, then he's has a misapprehension of his actual position. Prabhupada goes so far as to say, we cannot offer anything acceptable to the Lord if we're in such a state of ignorance. So therefore it's very essential that one develops this understanding of how to see God everywhere, and not only in the deity, and even as far as the deity, Prabhupada in the previous verse referred to the deity and using the word statue, which is a bit unusual, because as devotees, we see how the Lord is manifest, and he has come and manifest as the deity. But there are some, maybe lower level of devotee, who comes and sees the deity and just sees the deity as a statue, as a representation of the Lord, as the representation of Lord Rama, as the representation of Krishna, as the representation of Lord Chaitanya. He's not actually Lord Chaitanya, he's just a statue of Lord Chaitanya, just a statue of Krishna, or just a statue of Lord Ram. But Lord Ram is elsewhere. So this is a lower level of devotee again, whereas actually that the deity is just a statue. Now the higher level is that the devotee accepts the Lord is there in the deity, manifest personally as the deity, as the Acha Vigraha. This is high level. But then again, if that devotee doesn't see that the Lord is actually manifest in the heart of his devotee, and his devotee is worshipping the Lord and doesn't give proper respect, and that if that person doesn't see that the Lord is in the heart of the kami, or even the dog, or the tiger, or the tree, then that person is on a lower level of a devotional service. So then how much the Lord will accept even a valuable offering of such a devotee is Prabhupada says we cannot offer anything acceptable. But nevertheless, Krishna gives us opportunity to make advancement, and we can offer. He is in no need of our offerings, but just for our own advancement, we can make such offerings. But we have to cultivate a higher sense of devotional service and a higher understanding of God everywhere. God is in that. You know, as I said yesterday, we can be, sometimes devotees are friendly with devotees, but they worship the deity, but they treat the materialists very badly. We should be respectful to all. But how we should be respectful, how we should treat, we also have to understand that. How we should treat others. Not exactly the same. Human beings are to be treated in one way and animals in another way. And even as far as human beings, some of them are very accepting of the Krishna consciousness, so therefore we interact with them in a certain way. Others are not very accepting. That doesn't mean we have to try to force them. We cannot force. Why aren't you accepting the Krishna consciousness? And then we say all bad things against them. We should be very, of course, you know, for our understanding in a class or something like that, sometimes we read Prabhupada says, oh, they are rascals and so on and so forth. But but even sometimes they are called like that for Prabhupada, still he was very respectful. Very, very respectful. Of course, if someone, although God is within them, and there's the living entity within, if someone comes to create disturbance, then we have to treat them differently again, as I was saying yesterday. If someone comes into the temple, he wants to harm the devotees. Normally we're respectful even to those who are not devotees. But if someone wants to come and cause trouble, we have to treat them accordingly. We have to stop them causing trouble. We have to take steps to act in such a way as to not allow them to harm the devotees or cause destruction to the temple or harm the deity or something like that. So we have to know all these things. It's not that Krishna is there, Krishna's energy, just like I was telling the story. I didn't finish that story. Just like I was telling the story yesterday, some devotee came and just took the temple van without even asking. And all day, the temple president was looking for the van. He couldn't find the van. Where is the van? Finally, at night, the van came back. And when the temple president questioned the devotee, why you took that van without asking? Well, it's all Krishna's, Prabhu. and then the temple president replied, well, the problem with that philosophy, Prabhu, is that you are not Krishna. You understand that point? It's all Krishna's. So that means that... But you are not Krishna, that it all belongs to you. Krishna gives everyone something to use in his service. should we respect that that is given to that devotee to use in the service of Krishna, and we shouldn't just, thinking we are Krishna, we can just take that thing as if it was our property. So that temple president chastised that devotee for taking the temple van without getting permission, and that temple president just happened to be me. At the time. Just like Aniruddha, the temple president chastised the devotees for taking the 7 o'clock Mahaprasadam when it was meant to go to for the guests, and some devotees were taking took the Mahaprasadam last night when it was meant for something else. So it's all Krishna, it's all Mahaprasadam. No, but you know, everything has its purpose. Everything has to be used just nicely. I remember years and years ago when I was the TP here, and the same thing happened. The Mahaprasadam was gone missing, and we were trying to track it down. And then we finally tracked it down to one devotee who was sneaking it off and hiding it in his little hiding place. And then we caught him red-handed. So this is Prabhu, you know, for, of course, as Mahaprasadam is to be honoured. So everyone has to be, everything has its, you know, how to use things in Krishna's service, how to treat people. Lord Kapila Dev is giving some very nice instruction here, how to understand these things. Now, generally it is said that one has to give in charity to people, treat people in a friendly way, but just how to do that. When Prabhupada says charity, he very much, in the last few purports, he mentions about prasadam. When we give charity to people, devotees can give charity, but we like to give it in the form of prasadam. And this was said here, that the distribution of prasadam to ignorant masses of people is essential for persons who make offerings to the personality of Godhead. This is like worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering charity, but not just indiscriminately. We like to give prasadam, and we like to look after people like that. And Prabhupada said, yes, let every hungry man in Melbourne come here to the temple, and we will feed them. One time he said like that. And didn't he say something, Aniruddha, about the temple here, where the temple here, in some 10-mile radius or something like that? What was that?
No, he just said that
every hungry man in Melbourne come here. Oh, yeah, I know he said. But didn't he say something about there's a... Like, any person within a 10-mile radius of this, the temple here, should be fed to their... What?
If they're hungry, then they should be fed.
Yeah, if they're hungry, they should be fed. So, lucky we've got that big kitchen coming up. There'll be a lot of cooking going on. So Prabhupada wanted that program, and mass prasadam distribution, kirtan and prasadam distribution. You know, I always remember that when Prabhupada came, I think for the only Rath Yatra he came for, the 1974 Rath Yatra was the only one. And when Prabhupada was walking with the devotees, we ended up in the exhibition buildings. Are they still there, those exhibition buildings? Are they still there? So, and we pulled the carts in there, and Prabhupada gave a lecture. He gave a very short lecture. And he started, I always remember how he started. He said, "Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And he told some things about the philosophy of Krishna God. It didn't go very long, 5-10 minutes. And then he said, "Now, please, we have our books, and we have nice prasadam," and like that, he said then. The books, if you were interested to buy some of our books, and we have some nice prasadam. So he gave a very short lecture. So generally speaking, for the mass of people, we don't speak so much philosophy, but we give them prasadam, and we have the kirtan. And for those who are interested, then we invite them to come along and hear some Krishna conscious philosophy and so on and so forth. This is generally, but there's a Prabhupada program. And he showed himself, and he actually states it in many places. Here he's stating it here, and in many places throughout his books, he said this prasadam distribution is very, very important. This is spiritual food stuff. Even if one understands or doesn't understand what is this Krishna consciousness, still just by eating the prasadam, he'll be purified and benefit, and the heart would be purified. So therefore, he always wanted to, when anyone ever came to see him, he would always want to make sure that they give him prasad. And when they left after talking with Prabhupada, Prabhupada was very conscious to give him prasad. And this was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the same, always wanted to give. I remember there's one story where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in when Jagannath Puri, and one man came, an Australian man came into the temple. An Australian man came into the temple they had the temple on the Grand Road there, and he came inside, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very, I read this account, I think it was in Bhakti Vikasha Maharaj's book, where he was very concerned that man, being a foreigner, be looked after very nicely. And he went down personally and talked to him, and he made sure he got prasadam and sat down and got a full meal, and to his satisfaction, and made sure the devotee served him very nicely. So our mood should be like that. We see with the acharyas, and we see with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, when he first came to America, he personally was cooking the feast. Personally cooking the feast and personally serving it out. Personally serving it out to the devotees. And he wanted to make sure they were, and to their heart's content, to enough prasadam. They used to cook so much prasadam. Of course, later on, he did say, and, you know, I remember here one time, when someone asked the question, is taking prasadam bad? I don't know why they ask. Is taking prasadam, what did they ask? Taking too much prasadam bad, Prabhupada? That's it. Is taking too much prasadam bad, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said that, taking prasadam can never be bad. It is always good. But too much prasadam is not very good, he said. That's how we put it. Can never be bad. It is prasadam. It is Krishna's mercy. It can never be bad. But taking too much is not very good. But we have to be careful, even with prasadam, and just take. Still, the program to distribute prasadam is just such a wonderful program. And so many people can became devotees just by taking prasadam all over the world. Weren't so much interested in the philosophy, but by the prasadam, you know, and then gradually, as they became purified, they begin to understand what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much for listening. I'll just read this verse again if anyone has any questions or comments. Jiva Shreshta Yajivanam Tata Prana Bhitasube Tata Sachita Pravaras Tata Chendriya Vritaya. Living entities are superior to inanimate objects, O Blessed Mother, and among them, living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals who develop consciousness are better than them, and better still are those who have developed sense perception. Any questions? Yes? Sorry? Offer what?
We have jobs. Or help the people across the road. How do I Krishna consciousness in that?
I'm not sure I asked that. I got that last part of the question. I didn't hear it actually. Say again.
So
just that last part. When you said something about jobs.
So for example, in my organization, there are jobs. So I find them clean and I offer a job.
To help the devotees. Yeah.
On the road, I see a blind person standing, so I extend my hand across the road. Right? So we help the people in some in this or that way.
Oh, yeah.
How do I have the Krishna consciousness in that
way? Well, I mean, you know, we've been. You know, we help them, mainly we help them by giving them nice prasadam. So you have to distinguish between the different types of persons, how to help them, you know, you have to learn how to do that, especially from the instructions of the Bhagavatam, and especially from the senior Vaishnavas, how they are doing, how Prabhupada preached to different types of people. You have to see how he did it, how the other acharyas did it, how the senior devotees are doing it, even as far as preaching. I remember when I was a new devotee, when there was a Sunday feast, I wasn't allowed to preach to anyone. I had to sit next to a senior devotee and see how he preached to the new people. So we have to learn, and then when the senior devotee asked me to also preach, then when he heard how I was preaching, when he was satisfied, then he said, all right, now you can preach to the new persons. Understand? So you have to learn all these things from the senior devotees, from the instructions of the Shastra, and from the Guru and all the predecessor acharyas. So Krishna will help you also from within your heart to give you intelligence how to distinguish how to help the different types of persons. Because as very much emphasized here, that we have to learn how to... everyone is equal, spirit, soul, part and parcel of God, but they're in different bodies, so therefore we have to learn how to treat the different types of the living entities, even with the animals, how to treat them, how to treat the humans, and how to treat the different types of humans, and how to give them the Krishna consciousness. And you have to adjust someone. You may give them prasadam. Sometimes they don't even want the prasadam. They won't accept the prasadam. So therefore you have to adjust how to, all right, so not to prasadam, then let me some other way. Just by association. Just by maybe take a magazine, take a book, you have to see. Krishna, use your intelligence. You have to use your intelligence and take guidance from the senior devotees and read these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on and so forth. So this is, you have to gradually understand how to do all those things. All right. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Sri Radha Balabha Bhagwan ki, Jai Gaur Bhimanandi Hari Hari Bhagavan.